The Bible is funny.
Well, hello again, Bible is funny. Friends? Family? What do you say?
We're family here, Rach.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bible is Funny podcast.
If you're going to dive in and do the intro, you got to do it confidently.
I couldn't remember if you say friends or family.
They're family. All of the people on the other end of this microphone are family, Rach.
I'm your host, Rachel Russo.
That's it. You are the host. What do we do here at the Bible is Funny podcast, Rachel?
Well, usually we talk about funny parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them.
That's right.
But today, we're talking about something very exciting.
Exciting stuff today.
Yeah. We are talking about your book.
The book.
Yeah, it's here. It's right in front of me. I'm holding it. My hand.
There's the one.
The one copy that we have.
We have one copy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like you have family over and you want to just give them a copy and you're like, I'm sorry, you can't take this.
No.
Because it's the only one.
This is ours. Supposedly we're getting a box.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on the way.
It's on the way.
It's on the way.
Well, hey, thanks for being on the podcast today.
Oh man, thank you so much for having me. It's a real privilege to be on this podcast. I hear great things about it.
Man, it's one of my favorites.
You like this one?
Yeah.
You got me into podcasts, really. Mm-hmm. You went first.
I take full credit.
And I tell the story that your first thing was, where do I go to listen to a podcast? Do I go to podcast.com? That's a true story. You asked.
But look how experienced I am now.
Look at where
I am hosting a podcast.
Started
right now.
From the bottom. Now we hear.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you for your guidance and teaching me about the Apple button just right there on my phone.
I knew how to get to podcasts, but I didn't listen to them. And then you started.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got me hooked.
Yeah. Love a good podcast.
Now we're podcasts. Now we're the people that on a road trip, we give our kids the iPad with headphones and we listen to podcasts.
Exactly.
That's a kind of person. And we are it.
Well, our mix CDs aren't playing so well anymore.
Scratching.
They're a little scratched.
They're scratching. I wish there was another way to compile songs together into like a list that plays.
Someone should do that.
Something like that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, podcasts it is.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your book.
We're going to talk about the book today.
So you wrote a book.
I did.
That's amazing.
It's very fun. It's very fun. Yeah, we've been talking about the book some here. I think we've brought up the book a couple times on the podcast. But today I'm excited that we can like throw open the floodgates. Mm. We can openly discuss the book. Because it's this weird thing where like I'm like, I don't want to say too much. Am I allowed to say that?
Well, you never want to talk about yourself in any form or fashion.
That's right.
Like you just, yeah. I mean, you have close friends who didn't know until recently that you wrote a book.
Yeah. I don't have a good on-ramp to bring it up. Like, I feel like there's no organic way to like, oh, I see you have a book on your coffee table. Did you know that I wrote a book? You know what I mean? Like, how do we get there? I don't know. So, yes.
You just let me do it for you.
I do.
Which is the way it's gone thus far.
That's the best way to get the word out.
Yeah.
Is to have you talk about it. That's perfect.
Well, so let's rewind. When did this, come about? When did you decide that you wanted to write a book?
Yeah.
I know how it all happened, but tell.
You've been along.
Tell your friends and family listening.
They're just family. Okay. They're all family out here. Yeah, I always wanted to write a book. The whole premise of the project was to write a book like 7 years ago or however long ago it all started. And it started with writing these blogs. Forgive me if we covered this on like the origin story of the podcast May have covered some of this before, but it started with writing these blogs that I thought everyone was going to love because the year was 2000-something and blogs were all the rage.
Sure.
And so I'm writing these blogs, and then I thought, and Instagram was like just on the come up. Like it wasn't as much of a staple as it is now. You got me onto Instagram.
You're welcome.
Where would I be? You were like, there's a cool thing it's more pictures. Everything was sepia at the time. It was a weird time, if you don't recall. No, it was a little bit past the sepia time. But anyway, so I was like, well, I want to post these blogs on Instagram. I want to use Instagram to like grow this project. And I thought I'll do the blog posts like once a week, or I forget what my first goal was. And then I'll do these little jokey posts other times. And it'll just sort of be content to keep things moving. But it'll be, but the blogs are what people are going to want. Mm-hmm. That's the thing they're going to be into. And funny story, they were not as into the blogs. They did not get not very many people were reading the blogs. And then the Instagram started doing really well. So the blogs were like, I was always like, this is a fun project. I want to highlight different parts of scripture that I think are funny, or stories that are in there that me, who had grown up in church, every memory I have is with church and being taught the Bible and reading the Bible. And I would just either, in my own reading, I would glaze over these parts because I would think like, well, they're not important. This isn't the story of the prodigal son. Why is this even in here? So there was all these parts of the Bible that I had either like skipped over, I hadn't been taught much from, yada, yada, yada. And I wanted to dive more into them. So that was the point of the blogs. And then I always had this sort of dream that if all the blogs could come together to form like a funny book of essays, like that would just be like a collection of funny, pointless stories. Like it would just be like, here's a story I think is funny, here's why I think it's funny, end of segment. And so I loved that idea for a book, and I was really all about that idea, and I got linked up with an agent, Cynthia, shouts out, who's the best and has helped me so much through this process. And so she, helped me put together a little proposal for this like funny book of essays.
Right.
And she was like, what other books have you seen that are like the book that you want to make? And I was like, yeah, that's a great question. And I was like, you know, Jerry Seinfeld wrote a book like this. Ellen DeGeneres wrote a book like this. I think I had some other examples. And she was like, do you think maybe that those people have something that you,
you
currently don't have? And I was like, I can't come to think of it. Like, nothing comes to mind. We're all, you know, very funny, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, they are very, very famous comedians. And I was not. So Cynthia, bless her heart, like shopped that book around and just nobody was into it.
She tried, yeah.
Because there was nothing really there. And she had said all along, I think this would make a good devotion if you would like end it with like a thought.
Right.
And I think you were on that page pretty quick of like, yeah, that's an interesting idea. And I was like, no, it's not a devotion. It's not a devotion. That's not what we do here. We don't do devotions. We just do funny stuff, period.
I think I remember... We were in a hotel, we were on a trip, and I remember us sitting up one night talking about this and talking about, like, it felt like it had reached a bunch of dead ends, and Cynthia was just like, hey, nobody
right
knows who you are, or, like, this has no direction, basically, in a much nicer way. And I remember we were just up talking about it and what could it be, and I was texting with one of my friends, Brittany, and she had mentioned, like,
yeah,
you know, there's really not, like, a funny devotional out there.
Mm-hmm.
What if it was that? And then we just started kicking that idea around and like, okay, well, what could this look like? Why are you so appalled at the idea of a devotional?
I was.
How can we move past this and make it something that people can connect with, relate to, and want to read?
And I have no, like, this is exactly how it happened. I relented to write a couple devotionals to show you all that it wasn't going to work as a devotional. That was the entire motivation, was like, maybe everyone will stop asking me about making it a devotional if I show them how it's not going to work as a devotional. And I wrote like two or three or four, somewhere in there. And I was like, oh, this is really fun. And I really actually like this a lot.
Oh, this works.
This is really, this like ties the whole project up, like exactly what was missing. So, like all good things in my life, I nearly messed it up and missed it. And I had good patient people around me that stuck with me and kept holding up to me that this was a good idea. And so that started, then we put together the proposal for it as a devotional. And it was like, we had a contract to write a book pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So then I got to write this book that's now a real book.
Yeah.
Crazily enough.
Yeah, and you have awesome publishers, and
I do.
Yeah, it's just a dream scenario for a first book.
It really is so. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, what was it like writing? You know, starting over from what you had, and then making it into a devotional. Like how was that process?
Yeah. Well, it's been really interesting, and like, I think formative in a lot of ways, because while this has all been going on, because this is like several years of a process, like we have also been growing up and mm-hmm. coming into like our own understanding of our faith and really taking that like next step of like, there's things that we were raised with, there's things our parents gave us. What are we doing with that? How is this our thing? What is this going to look like in our life? Then we have kids. And you're like, well, what am I going to teach my kids? And mm-hmm. so you're really like trying to like, not only are you learning and growing in all these areas, but then it's like, I want to form those things into actual thoughts that can be written down mm-hmm. and that I would proudly stand by as like actual thoughts on how I view my faith and how I view the Bible and those things. So that's kind of when you say like, what's the process? I feel like that's been the bigger idea of the process. Because the funny stuff always was like, I really wanted to write that. But then it was like, okay, wrestle two or three paragraphs of like what you really think out each one of these. And that's been like, I think the most like growing and learning part. But I mean, another thing I've told you, so, but I will clue in our family that's listening. Was like, it's just another example of me being a dummy, but I was like, I've written some essays, I've written like these blogs, so like writing a book won't be super hard. And then like just like 5% of the way in, I was like, writing a book is really hard. And like and then when you say that out loud, you're like, well, of course it is, like that should have been obvious. But yeah, it was tough, and we had to, because we have two young kids, Crosby and Finn, mm-hmm. and Penny Lane, mm-hmm. who is a dog.
She's honestly more work than the kids.
She's the most work. Such a diva. So we've had to like, you know, to carve out writing time is like really, has been a lot of work on your part. Like you have to, because I have a full-time job working at a church that I love my job. And so we're doing that. And then I'm also like taking the extra time, like weekend time, to go away and write for long periods of time. So it was it was quite the process, but it's so great. Like I'm just so thankful for it, and thankful that now it's a thing that people can read.
If you had to say there was like the hardest part of writing the book, you said, you know, writing a book was hard. What was the hardest part?
Well, it definitely becomes something where like you write when you're writing, when you're people who write, like there's a lot of famous quotes about the agony of writing, and people say like, nobody likes to write. They like to have written, because it just can be a really tough process. But I think for me, it's just the idea that like we were really scheduling these outings, and it was like, I have this like block of time and I have to write. So it's like some days you're feeling really inspired and it's like really flowing. And then other days it's like, no, if you want to do the thing, you got to go do it even when it's like not easy. Mm-hmm. And even when it's like, there's other things on your mind and there's things that you're like having to work through to get there. I feel like those are like sort of like make or break moments of it's fun to do things when it's fun. and it's hard to do things when it's less fun. And so you go in and the kids were up all night, let's say, and I go to write on a Friday or a Saturday. We had rented a little like co-working space that I could go to and write because our house is
usually loud
madhouse. It was very difficult to write here.
And the co-working space had all the free kombucha and coffee you could drink.
Yes.
Which was lovely.
Yeah. It was very nice. I was very thankful for it. All the kombucha and coffee that I was able to drink. So yeah, I would go there and it was just like, this is it. Like you got to write during this time. So it has to happen. So I would just say those days when it was just like, you have this deadline looming and you have this many windows of time to get the whole thing done. So I'd probably say that.
What was the best part?
I mean, the best part has been what's just been fun about this project the whole time, that like, I feel like I'm discovering parts of the Bible still. Like it's this thing that it's like, I don't know, it's like having like a best friend that you learn all kinds of new things about, like that you're like, whoa, I didn't know this story was in this part of the Bible. And then you like get to dive into it a little bit more and see what's really going on with that story. And then you get the opportunity to like brag about or that's not the right way to say it, just to like show other people this cool thing that you feel like you found as you were reading through the Bible. Like that's always been the most joy to me, when people will comment on the Instagram or different things and they're like, I had to go look that up because I didn't know that was in there.
Right.
And you're like, yes, that's awesome. It's like you engaging with this thing. And I want, that's what I want. I want people to engage with the Bible.
Yeah. I mean, I was a part of your early editing stage. Like you would go and write and you would come home with, you know, 10, how many chapters are in this?
Or 60.
Many? Okay, 60, that's right. So there's 60 devotionals all in all, and you wrote more than that, I think, and then we dwindled some down or whatever, but you would come home with like, let's say 10, and I would read through them and give you notes or whatever. And then it kind of went through to your agent, and she had a lot of editing down some stuff for you because it had to be a certain amount of words that you were over a little bit. So, so anyway, then it went through the other rounds of editing, and then now it is what it is. So I've read different parts of it, but now that we have the book and we've had it for a couple weeks, I've been, you know, reading through it all. And
which, like, bless you. My goodness. The fact that you listen to my podcasts and you deal with me all the time, every day, and you will go out of your way to read a book I wrote.
Of course.
What an angel.
Well, I mean, it's great. That's what I was going to say, is I have read it several times. I have read, you know, different versions. I was reading your blogs back in 2000 and I don't know what year.
You 11. And dozens others.
Me and 12 other people were reading your blogs.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I say that to say, even rereading it for, I don't even know, you know, how many times, but now reading it as the actual book, it's still, you know, it's still so new to me, if that makes sense. Like that every time, it's almost like when you read the Bible and every time you read it, you are discovering something new.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, learning something new. And so even though I've read these stories a bunch, like I'm still, you know, picking this book up and reading it and going like, oh man, I totally, you know, missed that one, forgot about that or whatever, like forgot that lesson in there, or now I have read it in a different light. And so anyway, it's still, even after reading it several times, it's just so funny and so good feeling. Like it just is such a feel good book. It's such a, like, it's so encouraging and it's so just hopeful. Like it just offers so much, and it's just, I just love it. Like I just finished reading the last page right before we started recording, and I haven't had the chance to tell you yet that it's such a good book. It's such a good piece of work, and I love it. I love you. And I just find it Yeah, just really, really encouraging and really, like, it just painted this beautiful picture of God and who God is and how, you know, we view God and this, it just really painted this picture of just a present God who listens to us, who laughs with us, who grieves with us, who is just here and loves us and is just like tender and caring and wants the best for us. And that was just like this, you know, overwhelming feeling reading each chapter. Like, they're funny and they're encouraging, but then you just also just put in these really insightful and just heartwarming, like, nuggets of truth about who God is. And that's probably my favorite part.
Well, that's all very sweet and kind. Thank you. That's just really, really kind. Thank you for saying all that. I think you were getting at something there early that, like, is true, is that when you engage with the Bible at different, like, times of your life, or, like, you know, seasons of your life, as in, like, emotionally what you might be going through, seasons of your life as in, like, maybe you are single, maybe you're in a relationship, maybe you're parenting, maybe you're taking care of your parents, like, I think different passages can show up differently at different, like, times. You're like, oh, I'm going through something, and so something is coming out of that passage that wasn't when I wasn't experiencing this thing. So that was kind of like, for me, I want people to, like, I think when we're younger, we're really encouraged to engage with stories in the Bible, and, like, we're coloring sheets about these stories. We're, like, encouraged to artistically and creatively and engage with these stories, like, they're, and then it's like we were, like, weaned off of it almost and onto, like, oh, you should be taught, you should be listening to the right person, you should be listening to the right podcast, which if you're listening to this one, you are listening to the right podcast. It's like it's got to come through a filter to get to us. And so I hope that more that's a takeaway for people from the book, is that if you engage with this thing and you play with it, you'll start to see yourself more in these stories and how God is present in all these stories. And I think it's like God's presence in the stories is always so, it does bring such hope to me, because the people are so messed up in the story. like I think we mess up and God gets further away, or we go through something and God gets further away and God feels so far. And it's like, man, just if you read the Bible and you read it in past tense, that person was going through that thing, and there's God right in the middle of the story. Mm-hmm. And that can be so hopeful for us when we're like, man, it feels like God's a million miles away. Mm-hmm. And why are all these bad things happening? And, like, there's so many questions that are good questions. And I think they're easier questions to deal with if you can come to the solid realization that whether you're wrestling with these questions, whether you have no questions and all your questions, God is right there with you. Every emotion, every feeling, every season, there is God in that place with you. Mm. So that was just really nice.
Yeah.
You're really nice to me.
Mm. Well, you do good work. You were talking about asking questions, and you have a couple chapters in there. And when I say chapters, I mean, it's a devotion, so it's short. It's like one chapter is, you know, 2 pages. But you have a couple in there that ask good questions and tell us to ask good questions. And then you have a little bit at the end of every chapter that says, get curious. And then you ask the reader some questions that are really thoughtful. And, you know what? We never said the title. I'm just realizing that right now. We never said the title of your book. Because I said, get curious, and we never talked about it. It just reminded me.
Yeah, get curious sounds like it should have a tie-in to the title, Rach. Mm. Does it?
It sure does. The title is Curiosities, an Uncommon Sense from the Bible. 60 Devotions by Anthony Russo.
Curiosities and Uncommon Sense from the Bible. That's it. That's the name.
Sorry.
Anywho, now that we've covered the title base.
I mean, we I should have done that first. I'm sorry. I'm new at this.
I think you did it great because we really built up why they should care about the title. You know what I mean? We Tarantino'd this podcast.
Okay. So, next question. Do you have a favorite chapter that you wrote?
A favorite chapter that I wrote? I think my favorite chapters that I wrote were just the ones that, like, involved stories of, like, especially like, younger me. Like, because I just enjoyed getting to retell some of those stories. There's some fun stories with, like, me growing up with my mom in there.
We got to have your mom on the podcast.
She's got to come on the pod.
Yeah.
She's great. Shouts out to Sue. Big listener. One of the 12 who read the blogs, I'm sure.
I don't even know if she read them.
That would have been tricky. My mom has 2 active Facebook accounts. 2 Sue Brewers. You're going to get a comment from one or the other on any given time. I don't even know how she does it. She also finds a way, big listener to the podcast, so I know you can hear me, Mom. She finds a way to butt dial people, like...
It's unreal.
Constantly.
So many butt dials on an iPhone. I don't understand how it happened.
So one day I like took her phone. I was like, you have to just start locking your screen. I lock her screen. The butt dials did not slow down one bit. I don't know what goes on.
I don't understand.
But anyway, big shouts out to Mom. Yeah, those were I think some of my favorite ones to write. One that comes to mind, I mean, I don't know. The Balaam's donkey one is so
Iconic.
It's tough to beat that one. There's the one about the Israelite law about where to go to the bathroom. That was like very beginning of the project when I was like, ooh, I think this could be something.
You did a podcast on that, right? On that story?
Yeah, I think I did, yeah.
Well, go back and listen. It was a good one.
Right.
But yeah, that's a perfect example of just taking something, this, you know, strange verse, talking about watching where you poop because God walks among you. And just taking that and seeing the, you know, the strange, funny aspects of it and then turning it into this sweet, you know, message of God is with you. God is present. God is walking among you. So...
as if the message of watch where you poop wasn't sweet enough. Right. You didn't really need to sweeten it.
Speaking of poop, there's a lot of poop stories.
Speaking of poop.
in the Bible.
Can you, who lives in the same house that I do, blame me for writing so much about poop? Because it is 75% of our day.
Oh, I know.
We're either cleaning it or we're talking about it.
Yeah, right now it's constant. The answer to every question. What do you want for dinner? Poop.
that's like a whole chapter.
What do you guys want to do today? Poop.
Yeah. Everything. And they invented a chicken poop dance that they do around the house.
It's all about poop.
Shouts out to parents of boys.
Well, I think that, you know, fart jokes and poop jokes, they're classic. You know, they're always funny.
I own 2 whoopee cushions, like actively. There's one in the car right now.
I know.
Okay. You ain't got to tell me that fart jokes.
Well, there's a story in here. It was one of my, I have a couple favorite chapters in here, but one of my favorites was Second Chances and Nehemiah building a wall and asking for help.
Oh, yeah.
And
the dung gate.
The dung gate. Yeah. Oh my gosh. What page was that chapter?
They build a dung gate.
they build a dung gate, and you have a joke that made me laugh out loud in here. Dung could work fine as a gate, I suppose, but rival cities will never stop lighting it on fire and ringing the doorbell to see if the Israelites try to put out the fire with their slippers. That made me laugh.
Oh,
And then he asked for a perfume maker to come and repair part of the wall.
Yeah.
And then you have a joke about, you know, maybe
if you put that one by the dung gate.
Yeah, smell better. Yeah, sure.
I would say one of my more favorite jokes in the whole book is in this chapter. And it's about Nehemiah rebuilding that wall. And it's like, you know, he gives all these people, he really lives out this age-old like truth that is, when you are desperate, you'll take help from anybody.
Right.
Also, everyone deserves a second chance. But that's really, I love, yeah.
Well,
love.
And then he ultimately tasked the men of Jericho to build
Jericho.
The wall. And that, you know, it's just
can
a
you
funny,
imagine?
You know, yeah. I just wouldn't have read this story and then put all of that together.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have thought, like, oh, the men of Jericho, whose walls
to build
came
a wall.
Tumbling
That's,
down,
it's all we know.
Are now building another
literally
wall.
Like picking Zacchaeus for your basketball team. Like, we know one thing about this person. I don't know. I don't have a lot of context here, but this doesn't seem to be something you can be trusted with anymore.
Right. Yeah. And then you just go on to say, you know, God believes in second chances. And the men of Jericho got this second chance to build another wall. And even you say, I use the word second loosely. God is more like a parent telling their kid, this is the last try, in quotes. When we all know that kid is going to try until they make it, which is our life right now. Like, okay, Crosby, you got one more shot to make this basket, and he doesn't make it. Okay, again, till he makes it. We're going to let you try until you make it.
Right.
And then, yeah, you just kind of tie that up with, you know, how God is like that with us. And
yeah,
just this, God always chooses the path of redemption. Over the path of least resistance, and that's the story God's inviting us to participate in. And so, yeah, it's just that's kind of just a sample of taking something, one of these stories that is strange and funny, and you point out these funny parts in it that I wouldn't have connected otherwise. And then it's funny, and it's sweet, and it's true, and it just all feels right, and it feels good reading it, and yeah, anyway, already went on that tangent about how much I love this.
I know, you're so nice, you're so kind, and it really is, I mean, you went over it, but it is amazing to me that you went out of your way to read this book after you've probably read this book in one form or another at least several times. So that is very kind of you. But yeah, I love that story, and I love that, like, you know, I just feel like that is the example, and Crosby's like living it right now. He goes out and he shoots and he misses, and he wants to shoot again. Because the second he misses, he wants to shoot again. Like, he wants to get this thing right. Mm-hmm. He wants to do it right and make it. And in his case, with the shot. And I feel like that's like, there's been at times in my life, I feel like I had a picture painted for me of a God who was just counting down these chances that I was going to get. And then that was it. Mm-hmm. You did your last chance and you're out now, Pally. Like, that was your last shot.
Pally?
I told you, this was not an accurate depiction of God. God doesn't say Pally. And it's like, man, that's not, when you read the Bible, you see these people that mess up like royally, like over and over again. And God still there saying, like, I mean, it's a oft used illustration, but the one of the only times in a biblical story when we get a depiction of God is the lost son. What's the other
the
word?
The prodigal.
Prodigal. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word prodigal. And you know, the prodigal son makes all these bad choices. And then what is the God character as the father? And where is he at the end of the story? Is like waiting at the house with the arms wide open. Like, I just want you to come home. Like, I just want what's best for you. That's all I want. And no matter how many bad decisions you make.
Right.
So yeah, I think that was a good one. That's my favorite chapter too.
Oh, wow.
I'm glad you picked it.
One of my other favorites, an early favorite, was the Welcome to the Neighborhood.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I don't want to give away the whole book, but...
Oh, there's 60. My goodness.
Yeah, right. A safe place for murderers.
Place for murderers. What a funny little rule.
I mean, it's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a place where if you've killed someone... Accidentally.
Accidentally.
Keyword.
You did was a. You know how that happens.
Sure.
One thing leads to another.
I don't, but.
One of the things I love about that story is the very specific example that's given is like, for example, you're out cutting wood with your buddies and the head of your axe flies off and kills some guy. And you just know, like, the first person to suggest this feels very shady.
Right.
Like, you're literally probably an axe murderer, but you've concocted this. Oh, it was just two of you in the woods cutting, and it just flew off, did it? That's what happened?
How many people are in this town that is created?
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's a town. That's what's so interesting.
How many people are accidentally killing people?
Right. And then the premise of the devotion is like, people move in, right? Like somebody moves their family into the town, and you're like, wonder what this story how did you accidentally kill somebody? And how do we have enough people to make a town?
Right.
This is this common. So yeah, there was like a at the time there's a rule, little context, and I'm doing this off the cuff, so I may be a hair off one way or another. But there was like a retribution that was allowed at the time within the confines of the law. So it was like if so-and-so killed, you know, your family member, your family was allowed to enact a degree of retribution on this person, which I think went as far as like killing them. And so these towns were created that if you accidentally killed someone, you could go and then you were protected as long as you were in that town.
Hmm.
So it's a very strange little rule. But yeah, I'm sure it made for like, who's the mayor, I would say, is a question I have. Who's the mayor of that town?
Yeah. Not a place I want to visit, I don't think.
You know, yeah, the schools there are great, though. A-plus schools.
Yeah, there were several just chapters in here that I enjoyed reading, and that some of the stories were ones that I was definitely more familiar with and that I was reading in a new light because you brought up, you know, different ways to think about these stories. And then other stories were ones that I feel like I've never read. I've never seen in the Bible before. They're in there, but I'm just like, what in the world? Where did this come from? You know,
yeah.
Different stories. Like the Be Nice to Birds one.
Be Nice to Birds.
Was interesting. The Paul boring someone to death, like the guy falling out of a window.
Eutychus.
Yeah, I know you've done a podcast on that, so I'd heard you talk about it, but I don't think, you know, prior to hearing you talk about it, I don't think I'd ever read that story in the Bible.
I think people get cagey when I say boredom to death. Because some things, in fairness, they say it was like after midnight. So there are good reasons Eutychus could have been tired for lots of reasons. But there's no way to get around. In the middle of Paul preaching, he falls asleep.
and then falls out a window. Of a second story building.
Of a second story building. Or at least, yeah, I think that's what it was, a second story building. And the great, I'll never forget the name because of this awful joke I heard one time that was, in the beginning of doing the Bible was funny and people really weren't sure what the project was. So they were just sending me like Bible jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them about that story was, if you fell out a window, you'd accust too.
Oh.
You'd accust.
Wow. It's gold.
That's it. This is the kind of stuff you can expect when you order the book.
Yeah, Samuel picking out a good-looking king was one that made me laugh.
So like, funny.
Just stories that are just funny.
So funny.
Yeah.
The features that stuck out to Samuel to note.
The one that made me laugh just recently when I was reading was King Asa? I don't know.
This is a family podcast. First of all.
How do you say it? King Asa?
Asa.
Asa. Asa.
NASA minus the N.
Asa? ASA.
Yeah.
How do you say it?
You got it.
You won't even say
one
it.
One of those you said was the one, I'm sure.
Anyway, the last word on him being that his feet were diseased. His
feet were diseased.
Like,
poor guy.
Poor guy. He did a lot of good things.
What a note. what a note to go in there, you know?
Yeah.
When you're like, let's make sure we have the important stuff.
Why?
Jot it down.
Right. Why put that
in there? Wait, did you put something in there about his feet?
They were
diseased. That was like this the last couple years. Well, I think it's worth mentioning. All right. His feet got diseased. You happy now?
Oh.
Byron?
One page I thought was super sweet and kind of made me tear up a little bit. Page 23, you're talking about our early days of dating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how the chapter is called Crazy in Love. And you're talking about Song of Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to stay up on the phone, like, all night.
All night.
Just talking. And then waking up for high school in the morning.
Yeah. Class.
I was always late. I slept in. But, yeah, we would stay up just super late talking. And I could sense that you were falling asleep on the other end.
Yes.
And then I would say, hey, are you falling asleep? Do you want to go to bed? And you would be like, no, I'm good. okay. Well.
The thing is, if you've ever been in that situation, you drift into sleep and then you start dreaming very quickly. So I remember distinctly one time you were like, just laughing at me, and you were like, if you're not falling asleep, what did I just say? And I compiled some of what you were talking about with a dream I was having. And I was like, something about, I think, a florist? And yada yada. And you were like laughing.
Just
at me,
go
like,
to bed.
No, you fell asleep. But these really vivid dreams would start right up, like with characters maybe we were just talking about stuff.
But so, yeah, anyway, the part that made me tear up was you said, we say and do crazy things when we're in love. Rachel thought she was bothering me by keeping me up. I thought I was the luckiest guy in the world that she was talking to me. And I just thought that was really sweet.
Well, it's true. And I had free nights and weekends. So
that was a big deal.
For those younger listeners, there was a time when our cell phones were limited with how much we could talk.
You were in my
circle
of friends.
That was a second phase.
Yeah.
We were figuring out cell phones very quickly.
You could pick five people talk to free whenever.
Right.
Those were your five people. And you could only change them out like once a year or something like that. It was big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was real sad when you were like, five. I have so many more friends. And then you got down to it and you were like, there's only four people I talk to.
Speak for yourself.
Okay. Okay. Clueless hands-free phone.
Oh, man. That was the best phone.
Phones have come so far in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Which is why we brought you here today, listeners. Phones. The journey they've been on.
So anyway, I love this book. I love at it closer to the end, you talk about, I'll quote you just a couple more times. Is it weird me reading your book to you?
I prefer it, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think you should, if we do like an audiobook, you should be the one that reads it.
Spoiler alert, you are doing
an audiobook. We are doing an audiobook.
I'm not the one reading it.
No, I'm reading it.
Anyway, you say this chapter is about the bully, Abner.
Bully for you?
Bully for you, yes. And you are talking
take
about...
a lot, real quick, I take a lot of pride in these devotional titles, by the way. Too much. And I want you to just note that, because when you order this book, you're going to be like, why does he take so much pride in these titles? They're not that good. But they really, I was very tickled when I thought of like the right title for the devotional.
Oh, it's important.
For the devotion, each individual
right,
one.
Right. Well, this Abner character, he's a bully, mm-hmm. does a lot of mean and violent things.
That's right.
And then David, at his death, you know, basically says he saw Abner as his brother.
Mm.
And it's hard to get your head around this kind of treatment, but it's a beautiful application of the world-changing truth God intends us to learn. Everyone we see, everyone we interact with, no matter where they come from or what they've done, are, in a sense, family. from close friends to the bullies of the world. We are human beings created by God. It's the image of God we bear, the breath of God in our lungs. Ultimately, what we have in common far outweighs anything that would otherwise pull us apart. I loved that. I know I just keep saying I love everything in it, but I thought that was a really beautiful picture of God's love for us and seeing God in everyone and everything around us.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. It's a really interesting story. Like David's story is just like there's so many facets of it. You just really can get lost in David's story. And Abner is a really interesting character in it. And yeah, you do think now that we're doing this podcast, you're like, boy, is there going to be any book left to read? But yeah,
we've only really touched interesting... like 10 chapters, maybe.
Wow. You mean there's more? Yes, that's really good. That was really good. That was a fun chapter to write. Because he really does play out like a bully, like a real traditional bully, Abner does. In fact, there's like one quote in there, one passage where... you want to talk about two other characters I love, is David and Michal, Saul's daughter. Their story, endlessly fascinating. It's probably like, if you were to make me pinpoint two characters who I just like love reading about, it's those two. Because they really loved each other. Anyway, I won't go down that rabbit hole. But Abner, one of the things David says, like the kingdom has been torn apart and they're working to bring it back together. And David says, I want Michal back because he loves her. And she had been married off to this other guy. So Abner goes and gets Michal. I hope I'm getting the story right because I don't have it like in front of me. If it's not this, it's very close. And then Michal starts coming back with Abner, and her new husband is following behind because he's like, no, that's my wife, and yada, yada, yada. Because he, you know, they were remarried and they're sort of, and Abner like turns around and looks at the guy and is like, go home. Enough of you following us. And he's like, okay. And he turns around and goes home. It's a great little snippet into the commanding presence that was Abner. People were just like, can do what he says.
He's a bully.
Well,
the last chapter, you talk a little bit about your dad and how he was an alcoholic for the majority of your life. And then he had like 2 years near the end of his life where he was sober and you guys, you know, formed a relationship and he got to know our kids a little bit and then he died of a heart attack and you say, part of me wondered why that good season right there at the end. And the answer is God simply never stops redeeming. It's a perpetual state. It's the nature of God. And I just thought that was a perfect end to this book and the redeeming qualities of God and the redeeming stories all throughout the Bible. And that is just the picture it paints. And yeah, you just did such a great job of bringing that point home through all of these crazy stories and these messed up people in these stories. And that God is just constantly redeeming. And I just thought that was a really beautiful end to the book.
Well, thank you. And the listeners at home are trying to track with the book going, so we start with poop stories, touch on the bullies, and then Anthony's alcoholic dad is where we land. What an adventure we're about to go on. And you know what, listener? You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. You've nailed it. That is the book. Yeah, that was like a big, and a lot of that happened like, not like necessarily parallel with the book process, but I lost my dad like a couple years ago now, 4 years ago maybe. So that was like very, now you think it's more?
No, Finn's only 3.
Oh, wow, yeah. He met Finn, so.
Yeah.
Not that long ago, just a few years ago. And so it would like, I don't know that we were like, no, we didn't have a signed contract or anything, but it was just all very fresh to writing all this and working through so many things. And so, yeah, it felt like that was important to be present in there somewhere, because it's really an overwhelming little moment that happened.
Yeah.
And so, but it is attached to a funny Bible story. Lest you think sure. we got too serious.
No. Not here. Not on the Bible is funny.
No way, family.
Well, we did it.
How'd we do? Was it good?
I think so.
Podcast?
Yeah.
Rachel is here for most of the podcasts.
Yeah.
You're here. You're a silent. Can we tell everybody your official title with The Bible is Funny?
Sure.
You are the improver and approver.
Very important.
For The Bible is
Funny. Very official.
You make things better mm-hmm. and you approve things before they go out.
Yep.
And so you're hearing here now, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, that this book is approved.
It is approved. It's been improved.
It's been improved.
And it's approved now.
Now it is approved
mm-hmm.
to go out into the world.
Yeah. I'm so excited for people to read it and get it in their hands. And it's just so great. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Couldn't have happened without you.
Well, tell the people where to get it.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So here's some fun things. You can get it if you follow the Instagram, @TheBibleIsFunny. There's a link in the bio there. That's the most straightforward way to get it. You can pretty much pre-order this thing from anywhere. But if you're like, where do I go? If you go to the Instagram, you can do it there. If you pre-order the book, Rachel, I'm looking at you, so I'm going to talk to you. If you pre-order the book, you get lots of fun things. I'm going to highlight two of them.
Okay.
Because you're listening to the podcast right now. If you pre-order the book, you get a podcast episode that is only for people who pre-order the book.
Wow.
That's it. It's the only people that get to listen to this podcast. Special. It's a special podcast. And then the other thing is you get to join in a live stream event. It's like a book release comedy live show. Live show. Is not right. It's like a book release live comedy event, and it's going to be October 29th. So you get to tune in to that. If you pre-order the book, you get like a way that you can log in and join in, and you are going to be able to like participate in some of the things that we're doing. So we're going to do some improv. We're going to take some questions. So there's going to be fun stuff that you get to be a part of if you pre-order the book. Those are two of the things. There's a couple other things too. So there's still more. Surprises.
Mystery.
If you pre-order the book. So please pre-order the book.
When does it come out? What's the date?
The date that it comes out.
When will it ship to them?
Oh man, I don't know all of that, and I probably should. It is set to release October 26th.
So, okay, so you pre-order it and then
That's what you were asking. Yeah, October 26th it will ship to you.
Yeah.
Right. You pre-order it now. And you get the podcast episode, and you can join in on the live stream.
Right.
But the book you'll get October 26th, just in time for Halloween. Buy a bunch, and you can give them away.
Listen, really do. They're very giftable. It's a hard cover. It's not a paperback. It's a hard cover. It's got a little thing on the inside that says to and from. I mean, it'd be a great Christmas present or birthday present or...
Or Halloween present.
Halloween present.
Or Thanksgiving present. Where does President's Day fall? That feels like that could be a gift.
Yeah. Any holiday,
are we gifting
really.
For that? So yeah,
I do.
You get lots of fun things if you pre-order the book. So please do that.
Yeah.
Because I wish I could just give everyone the book, especially if you listen to the podcast, because you guys are like the best. But
the publishers frown.
The publishers keen on that idea. So please pre-order it.
Maybe you should do a giveaway or something.
I could definitely do a giveaway.
Yeah,
that would be fun. We should do that.
Yeah, we'll plan that.
You did a great job hosting too.
Oh, thanks.
Sorry, listeners, that you're gonna have to go back to me hosting here soon. But yeah, thank you so much for hosting. And we'll be back again with another episode. When will we be back with another again?
Very soon.
Very soon.
Thank you, everyone. Yeah. Thanks for writing a book.
And just... You're welcome.